All right. If you guessed, or if you knew, that that was Pancho Sanchez, Master Conguero, teaming up with Mongo Santa Maria, another Master Conguero, on something called Conga Blue, then you were right. That's exactly what it is. These are my two favorite percussionists, and it's a wonderful thing to have them team up on this tune. You're listening to Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's the day after. And brace yourself, because it's not going to be a very nice message today. We have some serious thinking and action to do based on what happened yesterday. All right. Now, we had a whole turnover, as it seems, politically. We had quite a few surprises and so forth, but I'm not too worried about that. What I'm worried about is this Democratic Party, and where, despite the help and the support it is getting, it is screwing things up. Screwing them up royally. And we now have to make a very serious decision, it seems to me. Do you stay with a party like this, or do you get out and start something else, support something else, or do you just get out? I know. It's a harsh thing to face. Is this president up to leadership? And when I say leadership, I don't mean that your name appears on a piece of stationery as the guy in charge. I mean you're running a machine that has aims and objectives that are to be accomplished. There's no discussion about if they can be accomplished. They are to be accomplished. That's why you're the head of the party. But I guess our record is so sad of forgiving people who make mistakes like this time and again, and we keep supporting them time and again. They pay no penalty for serious mistakes that they make because people are expected to, how should I say, understand. We are expected to understand. That means we are expected to be sheep. We don't make demands. We don't loudly express our dissatisfaction, and we certainly don't take requisite action to address the issues that are concerning us. Here is Joe Biden. Is it interesting that Joe Biden can go to see the Pope because he's such a good Catholic? And supposedly he needs some rest and whatnot, but he can set aside the time to do all of that. And Biden hasn't yet made the rounds in communities that put him in office, let alone to indicate that he is championing these things. Yes, I understand. He has some issues that he has put forward for support. but that's not the same thing. I'm talking leadership here. I'm not talking about cosmetics. Trump is a disgrace, but Trump is doing something right. He is letting, he knows that his future, such as it might be, all over the world, his future depends on how he is seen with regard to his constituency. Is he doing the job? Whether you like him or not is a whole different thing. But is there any argument that he is dedicated to specific things and he's working his butt off to get them done by any means necessary? But here is gentleman Biden. He's a soft guy, a cultured man. A man who falls asleep at a world meeting. And people are still hiding the fact that there may be something very serious wrong with him. But they will prop him up and use him as a kind of shield. And he himself doesn't have the decency to say, okay, I've gone as far as I can, but I have to deal with some health issues, and I'm out. There appears to be no person groomed to take his place should he get even sicker than he is. So everybody's interests and future and everything is riding on a person on whom no safe bet could be made right now. But what drives me nuts is the confidence these Democrats have had for years that their so-called constituency will be like sheep. They'll just do what we ask them to do. We throw them a little prize every now and then. But for the most part, they're not going to pose any problem for us. They'll do exactly as we ask them to do. I say we should break that right now. Break that history. Because it is intolerable and to the point of being self-effacing. We are insulting ourselves now with this kind of leadership. A man like Donald Trump, you can't face down, you can't oppose effectively, you can't run against him effectively with all of the support you've got, and you're getting it without even having to ask, and it's still a crapshoot whether this candidate over here who looks good will be supported or will have your support. You're not out there. You're not talking about how good your party is and what it intends to do. You're not. All you're doing is you're walking slowly and briskly, yes, but slowly. And you're leaving it up to fate, you know, and the Pope to give you an added push. You're out of your mind. And worse, we, the people, are out of our minds to tolerate that as leadership. To not confront it for what it is. And what it is it got a free ride on the basis of people's generosity and the hope that something will change. In all these years, they've been waiting for insightful leadership. And you get people talking all kinds of stupid philosophical stuff. Has nothing to do with whether you have a job, whether you can eat and feed your family. This is what Trump understands. He is a fighter. A very unprincipled, undesirable leader, but he gets it. And we wake up today after a national election, and it turns out to be the same old, same old. There's nothing new. Okay, you have a change of face here, and you have a change of face there, but you have not done a damn thing to change your party and to position it affirmatively for victory. You're not a leader. You'd rather go see the Pope. Have him pray for you. And have him pray for your victory. Because, you know, God listens to the Pope, especially. God is afraid of the Pope. So he will do exactly what the Pope asks. In 2021, this is the garbage that we're dealing with as a nation that calls itself a leading nation of the world. And you can't take care of your business. This is rudimentary business. This is politics. This is why you head up the Democratic Party. This is why you took that position. This is why you have all the amenities you need to get the job done. We shouldn't be calling each other today and asking, can you believe what happened? We shouldn't be talking about that. That should not be in our lexicon today. We should be moving ahead. 2021, we might as well be in the 1960s, for lack of movement. And whenever there was movement, it was the people. The people creating movement. Not the leadership. This party is seriously out of touch. It needs to fold up its tent and go away. In fact, the people need to force it to fold up its tent and go away. You're not in politics. You're confused. You think politics is all about diplomacy, how things look. Most people think politics is about fighting to get what you want and positioning your party in an advantageous position commensurate. This is very important for people to understand. You're not asking for favors. You've already made an investment. The Democratic Party has failed for many years to appreciate the quality and quantity of the investment people have made in it. That investment includes the assumption of a just return. A just return. This is how it works. This is what elections are about. You ask me to vote for you. You say you're going to do X, Y, Z. I say, okay, you got my vote. And I go and I vote. But I still have to wait. I have to hurry up and wait. Because it's not going to happen. And what we have seen over the years is that the people doing the heavy lifting in this part, and I'm going to say it so that it is clearly understood, the people for the most part doing the heaviest lifting in this party are people of color. They have been the targets of so-called policies for so long. They have borne the brunt of denial for so long. And still they are faithful. Still they have hope in this party. Still they reason that there will be a just return. And so they invest inordinately. They put themselves into their decision. And we have people traipsing around. Well, I've been in the party for 55 years, 60 years. I'll be in the party until I die. That's an assurance. I'm not afraid of not being elected. The Democratic Party is overloaded with freeloaders. People who are so confident, so assured about their existence, their political existence, they are afraid of nothing. They have a few more years to go. It is their calculation that they can go those few more years without having to, you know, get too excited about things. They'll get their pay, they'll get their pension, they'll get their bennies, their benefits, and then they're out. Look what the Democratic Party has presented as viable candidates to run cities. My God, look what they have, and we should be okay with that. We are funding and putting ourselves as the people, putting themselves at risk of ill-prepared leadership, unseasoned leadership, directionless leadership, inexperienced leadership. And for the party, it is enough to say, well, they're running as Democrats. And you're a Democrat, so you know what you've got to do. Some of these candidates are not worth being hired to bathe your dog. But they're Democrats. And the party chooses to put them on a track of success at the expense of the people who are suffering. They are the ones who will collect the results of inexperience and lack of preparedness. The party is not keeping faith with its constituencies. And still the people vote. I don't understand that. So either something is wrong with the people, or something is wrong with the party, or both. That's a job, it seems to me, that has to be done now. Figure out who is just not serving the best interests of whom, and get them out now. Don't even vote for them. And then, if you feel there's resistance to that idea, then you kick things up a notch. and you get out of the party altogether. This is not the party for you. You can't be supporting a party that doesn't support you, that doesn't share your ambitions and your outlook, especially for the future. You had a guy, Curtis Sliwa, running for mayor of the city of New York. I know him. I remember him as a young kid with a red beret, corralling all of these mostly black and Latino young people, giving them red berets so they come to the public as a kind of organized civic guard. But that's it. There were props in his play. They made him look good. And on the basis of that empty gesture, on the basis of that prowling into the communities and encouraging people to join him, what do they get? They get a red beret. That's it. And they become part of the Guardian Angels, a mythic organization. He is able to throw his red beret in the ring and run for mayor of the city of New York. Imagine that. What is his education? What is his preparedness? In those same communities where he is drawing and has drawn support from to make it appear that he has a viable organization, what was the return on that investment? The Democrats loved him because he was leaning Democrat since back then. Empty gestures, but only one or two people really knew what the deal was. I'm fed up of this Democratic Party, and in the last several years, I have refused to affiliate with it. These people are jokers. They're pretenders. They're betrayers. They're play acting. And the thing that boggles the mind is that we have people who are falling for it. But they aren't the only ones. So it seems to me that a good thing would be to start another party altogether. Get out. The party has insulted its membership with some of its actions, with the poor caliber of leadership, with the utter failures to consistently achieve victories where it was possible because it had the support of its constituencies. It did nothing with it except prop up the egos of the leaders of the organization. And that now extends even to the President of the United States. And we keep forgiving this stuff. We keep forgiving these insults. We keep deciding not to remember. and to forgive them. I know it's, they're trying their best. No, they're not. No other constituencies would accept that as an explanation that suffices. Except the constituency that historically has borne the brunt of responsibility for maintaining the very existence of the Democratic Party. We need to be thinking of workable alternatives. We're not going to get everything you want. This is the real world, after all. But it's time to stop the cycle of self-abuse. Do not support things that don't support you. People today are worrying, well, what's going to happen next? People in the Democratic Party who ushered this new era in, they're not worried. They got their pensions. They've put in time. Is Nancy Pelosi worried? Is Joe Biden worried? They'll get over it. They'll sulk for a minute or two, and they go on with their lives. And for the vast majority of Democratic Party supporters, that cannot and will not happen. The party owes, it owes its fidelity. It owes confidence to the people. It owes gratitude. It owes something called statesmanship or stateswomanship. This is not about your personal career. I'm glad you're able now as a president to go sit down and have a chuckle with the Pope. It doesn't do a damn thing for me. And I'm going to say this, you may think it a bit unkind. But if we don't get serious about our interests, we deserve everything we get. I want to repeat that. If we don't get serious about what we deserve, we deserve everything we get. I'll stop now. Although I could go on for at least another 2 or 3 hours on this, and we'll engage in discussion at 888-874-4888. We'll come back to talking with each other right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and the program is all yours now for you to express your views. And I'm dead serious about this need to get out of the Democratic Party. Leave it. Let it die. Because it is not keeping its faith with the vast majority of people who are supporting it. What do you think? Patricia, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I want you to keep your blood pressure down. I want you to keep your blood pressure down. You know that stress is no good for you.
I'll keep my blood pressure down.
Good, good. That's my prescription today. Now, all my friends were plastered in front of their TV last night, and I went and watched that old show called Girlfriends. I don't know if you knew, you don't have a TV, but I did everything but watch the results last night because I knew exactly what was going to happen. You may remember a few weeks ago I said my mantra was make the Democrats pay. So I am always going to retain my Democratic affiliation because I enjoy participating in the primary and I enjoy going to the polls and voting for everyone but a Democrat. That's my own personal way of making certain that the Democratic Party hears me, makes me feel good. I know it doesn't impact the outcome, but it makes me feel good. But I think what's interesting about today is if you're listening to all of the pundits who are doing Monday morning quarterbacking about what happened last night, everybody is talking about the fact that the Democrats lost, not because of Joe Biden, but that the Democrats lost because of the progressives in the party, that the progressives derailed the message, that the progressives caused infighting. The progressive, it's the progressive. And the message that I would have to them is, it's about what you didn't deliver for the people. This was the people's moment. You didn't deliver for the people, and so the people did exactly what they should have done, repudiate you. Again, I think the Democratic Party failed to understand that people really are watching, and they're beginning to recognize that when you don't deliver for me, you don't protect my loyalty, there is no quid pro quo. Then there's no reason for me to give you my vote. I think last night was a very, very good lesson for the Democrats. You look at what happened in Virginia. I mean, this guy really has absolutely no background. He comes out of finance. He comes out of Wall Street. And what does he know about governing? What is his background? He has none. But what he did was identify the party policy, whatever they determine that to be. The Democrats are frauds. They really have no identity on which they can launch a platform that is believable, that people understand. Everything that was in the reconciliation bill that supported working class families, working class and middle class families, was everything that was scrapped. And what they don't understand, that we understand, is that this bipartisan infrastructure bill only benefits corporations, which is why, in fact, it is bipartisan. There is bipartisan support because the corporate interests are protected. The very things that protect and support working class and middle class families are the very things they eliminated from the plan. So, they made their bed and they're lying in it as they should.
You're right. What do you think people should do based on this reality that they should confront?
It is my hope that people are finally going to stop showing up for the Democrats. I think it's beginning. I think the resistance is beginning. But again, time will tell to see if I'm correct or incorrect. But I think last night, the fact that the base did not come out as they should have, as they would have in the olden times, I think it's beginning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Patricia, for your comment today. Thank you so much for calling in. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Yes.
Hello, Gwen.
Hi. Well, I think it was a very low turnout, but I predicted that. I knew it was like a yawn a minute, but actually when I went down, there was a lot of people for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was surprised, but I also heard a lot of people did vote for Sliwa in Manhattan, and they were not voting because of him. They were voting against the mandate requirement that Eric Adams has said, not only is he going to do, but he's going to make it bigger and better than de Blasio has. So the thing I think I was thinking this morning about Russia and how many people complain about Russia and their politics and their censorship. And I just feel like that is where we live. That person was picked. He was going to win. It wouldn't matter who you ran against him. He was going to win no matter what, because he has a mandate from the Democratic Party, but it's not even the Democratic Party. I really encourage people to start thinking about world dominance, not just as the parties are here in America. This is just, these are just installments of puppets. He's a puppet, and he's going to do what he's told to do, because that's his job. And if he doesn't do what he's told to do, they'll give him a little Andrew Cuomo medicine, okay? Because that's what they can do, and that's what they are doing now. That's what they'll do. You get out of line, they'll take you out of office. So he has his job requirements, not by we the people. He has the requirements to do for we the deep state. And he'll do them. He'll do them beautifully. And I noticed all over the place, there was a lot of people that got in that, that were, well, I think everybody was pretty lackluster. And it was funny how they tried to demonize Curtis Sliwa on TV. Actually, there was a lady who called on WBAI and spoke for a half hour against him because he had, she said, 16 cats. And, you know, he showed up yesterday at the polling booth with a kitten, only 4 months old, which, frankly, I love kittens, so I had to say I think that's kind of cute. But the fact is that most people that voted for him were voting against the mandate. It's very, very serious in New York, and there's a lot of people that are very, very afraid. And I just, if you don't mind, could I tag on one little thing about free speech real fast?
No, because we're talking about elections.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say, especially as I am someone who is in politics, I have run 4 times for office, that it is not hard to manipulate an election at all. And it's certainly not hard when you have computers to bring in the result that you want. And I would ask people again, please, you're going to get who you get, and they've been picked. They've been pre-sorted picked, and they're going in at the request of the powers that be. So we need to think a little bit bigger here, because truly we're in a critical time in the world history. We're in a critical time when they are threatening to, separate people, as Noam Chomsky says, who won't take the vaccine. And last night somebody was talking about the vaccine in this election. And one of the people that was interviewing the person on the radio said, "We want to talk about the election." He said, "I am talking about the election. It was one of the big, big issues. It was the biggest issue of this election, mandates on vaccines." And we're hearing people from progressive radio say, that's not political. Really? Well, I don't know what is if that's not. So that's my comments for today.
Thank you very much, Gwen, for your call and your entry today. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, what's coming to mind for me is that sometimes we have to be redundant. And as far as I'm concerned, the people here have no party when you look at the Democrat and Republican. They are not parties that represent the interests of the people who live here. And I mean the masses of people. They are ruling class parties who represent the ruling class, and you get to decide every once in a while which one of those groups from the ruling class that's going to take charge of the government. So we have no party that is viable whatsoever that represents the people in elections. The Democrat and Republican groups represent the parties that are going to be in control. And the people have to understand that you're never going to get anywhere until you get out of the Democrat and Republican Party. They represent the ruling class. Occasionally, they'll do something to throw bones to the people to keep any kind of rebellion down. And that's what they do. They are not interested in benefiting the people. They are capitalists, they are imperialists, and they want to control the world. They involve themselves in the elections of all over the world where they try to manipulate things to benefit imperialism. And their job is to manipulate the people who live here, keep them quiet, keep them under control, and collect as much as they can in terms of wealth and income for themselves at the expense of the people who live there. People have to get it.
So what?
When I was young, I didn't understand this, and I even joined the Democrat Party. But as I got more educated, I got out of that thing. So the point is, when are people going to understand the system, the corrupt, rotten system they live in, where they don't believe in the democracy and don't believe in justice for the people, and having a group of parties that benefit people who live here rather than one ruling class group broken into two divisions, Republicans and Democrats, and they're both bad.
Thank you very much for your comment and your input today. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, but I could hardly hear you.
Oh, let me see if I can fix that. Okay. I'll get you right now.
Still, all right. Not hearing you very well, Tony.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the election yesterday. I kind of figured this was going to happen, where the Democrats are pretty much are going to start losing power, because they did the same thing that that the Republicans did when Trump was in office. They let the power get to their heads. When Biden first became president, he signed two particular executive orders that I found kind of detriment to his presidency. The first one was banning the pumping of more oil in the United States. And another one was there was a stay in Mexico policy that Trump had put in place for people seeking asylum in Mexico. As soon as Biden took that off, we had a flood of people come into the country illegally from Mexico. That was like a signal to basically say we're no longer implementing the Trump policy. That right now they're in the process of trying to reverse and re-implement that policy that Trump had, because they saw what a disaster it was by taking it off. And then yesterday, Joe Biden is in Glasgow at a climate change meeting promoting, asking Russia and Saudi Arabia to pump more oil. Now, in the United States, I think we have better technology and better regulations in how to pump oil than Russia does. And the last time I checked, we're on the same planet. Why would you want Russia and Saudi Arabia to pump more oil, produce more greenhouse gases, and then us? That's why gas prices are up $4 a gallon. Okay, people don't, you know, that hits the everyday person. That $4, that gas price going up hits the everyday person. Prices are going up. Okay. Another thing is, they're about to spend $3.5 trillion. They want to pass a bill, $3.5 trillion. I asked myself last week, what's in it for me? As a regular working class citizen in the United States, what's going to be in that bill for me? $3.5 trillion. There's not going to be any family medical leave in it. There's not going to be any free community college in it. What's going to be in it for $3.5 trillion that's going to change everybody's life in this country? Nothing. I would like to know what's in it for $3.5 trillion. In the summer, okay, this past summer, they passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill in the Senate. The people, the congressmen in the House refused to pass that bill, okay, because they want to wait to pass the $3.5 trillion with it combined. Why get greedy? why not just pass that and then work on this bill? The Republicans already said that they were not going to pass the $3.5 trillion. So that means the Democrats are going to push that bill all by themselves. So why not pass the one that has already been passed in the Senate bipartisan and take that win, take that small win, then work on this one? Why do it all together? That logic doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, thank you for your input today and your reaction to the election. Thanks so much. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Trish. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Look, real quick, speaking as a poll worker from last night, it's not just not showing up and not voting for the Democratic Party, not voting for the Republican Party. I've said it time and time again, all politics is local. And the only way that I can see any clear way of getting out of this with any type of tangible result is on the local level, is accessing the local offices, is working within your community boards, within your block associations. It's developing a platform on the local level, and then hopefully it'll carry across the country as far as some common goals that we can achieve, because both of these parties have no interest in the common man. Both of these parties have no interest in the common welfare. Both of these parties have no interest in promoting well-being among the people of this country. And you're just wasting your time. Yeah, don't show up for the Democratic Party. Do something locally. Promote a local force. Concentrate on specific issues, sanitation in the neighborhood, crime prevention in the neighborhood. In South Jamaica, we try to concentrate on sanitation, getting some garbage cans out there. Yeah, it's small, but from a small seed, a mighty oak tree grows. And it's going to be a time-involved process because this whole system is sick. It is sick from the rooter to the tooter, and there's nothing you can do to rectify it. And you're going to have to get outside of it. But you're going to have to take the time to get outside of it and to develop movements. If you look at history, from the Tea Party to the temperance movement, from the teetotalers to the Unitarian movement, all throughout history, the movements is what makes the people, not the people make the movement.
We're in a time now where people are emotionally equipped right now, already, to leave the Democratic Party, to start something new, or to join with others that are already in existence?
No, they're not. I believe they're emotionally frustrated, but I don't believe they're mentally equipped. And that's partially due to apathy. As an American, I can say that. We're very apathetic. We're used to quick fixes. We're used to personality-driven movements. And possibly due to intellectually, because the school and education system has not taught people what politics is really about. Politics is the distribution of power and resources amongst communities. And if we understand that, then we get off this personality trip and get on platform planks and resource-driven movements to say, hey, I want better education. I want better lighting. I want better housing. I want community policing. These are the things I'm standing for. If you ain't with that, then forget you. We're going to cultivate somebody out of our ranks who's with it, or we're going to get somebody who's with it. That's what we got to do. Personality don't matter.
How long ago should an exodus from the party have begun?
Should have begun in the 1970s. In the 1970s, when Reagan did that to Patco, that's when the exodus should have started. The unions let us down. The Republicans screwed us and turned Reagan into this great father, but he was the start. Once he broke the unions, which is one of the most viable political engines in this country for the working man, once he did that to Patco, that was the beginning of the end. Then you had the Lee Iacocca's and the writing of the books and the Donald Trump and all of these icons, all of these fake figures came out of that mess. When Reagan broke the news, I'll never forget my father, when Reagan did that to Patco, the next day he said, oh, we're not going to work. He said, get ready to tighten your belts because I ain't going to work, because he believed that TW was going to strike, and it should have been a nationwide strike. The unions were the answer back then, but now it's going to be grassroots. It's got to be something else. The unions are trying to make moves with the John Deere strike and all that, but I believe they're too corrupt. It's going to have to be something from the base. It's going to have to be local, and it's going to have to grow and gravitate similar to the Tea Party. But that's the only answer I can see from my personal observation.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you all for calling in and contributing. We'll continue this discussion because it has to be had. There are people who have a very narrow understanding of what politics is, in the sense that you show up at election time and you cast a vote. And hopefully the party or the outfit that you cast a vote for will win. I don't think beyond that that people have a really detailed understanding of the power they have to control what happens politically in this country. But I was so angry last night, I had to kind of calm myself down. I took a nice little walk, and it occurred to me that they have calculated one important truth, and that is the people will put up with it. That it will be too difficult to organize an alternative quickly enough to galvanize forces that should be working together for a shared and common good. That is not going to happen, not in this climate, right away. But people at least have to have a sense that it is possible, and that it is not only possible, but it is the right decision at this time. The party has worn out its welcome. It has, when I say it, I should say also this includes the Republican Party, but at least they're delivering. They're delivering for their constituency. The questions that we have about that is, I mean, what is this constituency and do we identify with it? We come from the old way of thinking, that it's regular working people who built this country and who continue to maintain it. They've been terribly abused and used by this party that presents itself as an every man's or every person's party, and it isn't. There has to be a reckoning, a price must be paid. And people must engage in protecting, fighting for, first of all, and then protecting their interests. It's a new political awakening. It's not just show up and vote, and you would have done your duty. The duty that we have is also to ourselves, to honor our work, to honor our lives, our future, our children, our communities. And we have to really get serious about that. Thanks so much for calling in. I imagine that there will be continuing commentary about these elections and the fallout. So I'm prepared for that. And I thank you so much for being so generous to share your thoughts and your feelings today. Let's get together tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.